I'll ask you to turn to the book of Joshua tonight, please, and reading in chapter 24 and reading verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that's all we wish to read. I was reading this portion this morning, and I thought it was given language that was very suitable for gospel preaching. Did you notice as Joshua spoke to the people, he reminded them of an inheritance to enjoy, for which they never labored. They were to partake of fruits that they never planted. They were to dwell in cities that they never built, an inheritance that God would give them. And the language of your Bible was this: they were to go in and to possess it. And all they needed was confidence in the promise of God. Then you notice that Joshua would remind them of a master to serve. They were called upon to choose the master that they would serve. And this would remind us of the words of Christ when he said, no man can serve two masters. And we will notice a very solemn note in your Bible, that a man will dwell eternally with the master that he has served in time. For said Christ, where I am, there shall my servant be also. A master to choose. And then we will notice that Joshua reminded them that there was a day to respond. Oh, said Joshua, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. A day to respond. An inheritance to enjoy. We did notice one night when the apostle was dealing with the salvation that we enjoy, for our Bible calls it this great salvation. He said, unto me is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he reminded the Christians that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Oh, the riches of salvation that the believer enjoys. Now he said, it's the gift of God. And it's not of works. And it's not of yourselves. Oh, said Joshua, this inheritance that the Lord will bring his people into, it's a land for which you did not labor. You're to dwell in cities that you never built. The vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not to eat. You're going to enjoy the fruits of a land. You're going to dwell in cities. You're going to have a land. And you'll have to acknowledge that it was just given by God to his people. And as the servant brought this land before the people of Israel, he said, go in and possess it. And God says, I will give it you. The inheritance that God will offer His people. Then all He will ask them to do is to make a choice of the Master that they will serve. We see the solemn thing was this, that men will dwell eternally with the Master that they serve in time. We said that those who serve Christ will dwell with Him forever. If I knew nothing more about heaven than what is found in two words in my Bible, I would rejoice and I'd face the eternal future without a fear within my breast. Oh, the Bible speaks of a street of gold. The Bible speaks about a rainbow circle throne. But the apostle, as he thought of departing from this scene, he said, there is a tug at my heart. Having a desire to depart, he said, and be with Christ, which is far better. And if it was only the assurance to be with Christ, we would face the future without a doubt in our mind. Oh, I preached one night with a man, one of the best friends I ever had, 48 years of age. And he was enjoying the prospect, you know, of being with Christ. And he quoted, we speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed. But what must it be to be there? Oh, he said, with Christ, which is far better. Better than what, said he? It's better than anything. I got a phone call the next day at 1:30. It was to tell me that he was there. Oh, with Christ. To be in the presence of the one that we have got to know on earth. That is the prospect of the believer. But said the Lord's servant here, there is another master that men serve. And as I read of the eternal doom of Satan, for it's fixed. For his doom is to be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Oh, those two great servants of his in a closing day. One, that great political figure that will work in the very power of Satan himself in the end times. And the other, the great religious figure with his miraculous power, drawing his power from the same source and that of Satan. And their doom is fixed. And they're in the lake 1,000 years already. To share a destiny with their master forever. But that chapter doesn't end there. We read of the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books to be opened. And another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire to share the same destiny with the master that they served in time. Oh, Jude in his little epistle, he said, woe unto them, they have gone in the way of Cain. That's the one who went out from the presence of the Lord, and he slew his brother. And then he says, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, set forth as an example to those who would afterwards live ungodly, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Your Bible gives an example to those who would live ungodly lives. and would remind us that 4,000 years almost ago, a people that lived an ungodly life, and they're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Oh, if it was a sentence of 4,000 years, it would be a dreadful anticipation. But after 4,000 years, it's still suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God will hold every man responsible for how he lives. And every man that dies in his sins that has served his master in time, he'll stand before his God to be judged according to his works. And another solemn note, as Christ spoke of Sodom and Gomorrah, he reminded those that had the greater privilege, it will be more terrible in the day of judgment for them than for ye. Oh, the life that a man has, and the manner of life that he has lived, is going to determine his degree of punishment forever. What a man does with Christ determines his eternal destiny. How a man lives determines his degree of punishment. Oh, said the wise man, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. The sinner sows in time what he's going to reap in eternity. Oh, said Joshua, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Most men indicate very clearly in time where they're going to be in eternity. Man of sin is your master. It denotes the doom you're going to know. And it's choose ye this day whom ye will serve. You'll notice again that Joshua would call these people to make their choice, and he said, it's this day. We looked one night at Felix, privileged to have heard the preaching of Paul. God, in his overruling sovereign way, declared that this preacher was going to stand before kings. And the prisoner was brought in before Felix to hear him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and a non-righteous, intemperate man was made to realize that there's judgment to come. And I read that under such preaching, Felix trembled with thoughts of judgment to come. And what was his response? Oh, said Felix, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Trembling with thoughts of judgment to come, and yet thinking of a day that would be convenient to him. No, no, said Joshua, this day. Did you notice that when Christ visited Jericho, and he came to the tree where Zacchaeus had climbed with a longing to see Jesus? Oh, Christ didn't pass a man like that, but when he came to the place, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And when the longing in the heart of the sinner harmonized with the demand of Christ, that very day, said Christ, this day is salvation come to this house. Zacchaeus, when do you want it, man? I want it today. And said, Christ, it's today is salvation come to this house. But as Christ preached, he drew the names of two women out of history. One as a warning, and the other as an example. Oh, he said the Queen of the South will rise up in judgment against this generation, for she came from the uttermost part to hear the wisdom of Solomon. A woman with her heart stirred, a heathen queen, took her long journey to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she'll rise up in judgment in that day and bear testimony that a woman that sought a knowledge of God, she found that God was a God ready to pardon. A woman that came. Oh, but said Christ, a more privileged woman, married to a righteous man, an uncle that stood in the presence of God and interceded for that family. I will thank God forever for a mother that prayed. If you have a friend that's praying for you, it's the best friend you ever had. And Abraham that bears the unique title in our Bible as a friend of God. He stood in the presence of God and he interceded for a family in Sodom. A woman, and she's married to a righteous man. A woman, and she's the object of the prayers of the friend of God. And an angelic messenger came to the home. And the urge that the angel gave to Lot's wife was this: haste ye, escape for thy life, tarry not. Oh, it would be a wonder to angels that a sinner should linger in their sins and in danger of eternal wrath. And I read that Lot's wife, she looked, and Lot's wife, she lingered. Oh, said Christ, remember Lot's wife. It's today. Said the Hebrew epistle, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What said Felix? A convenient time. What said Lot's wife as she lingered with her heart still in Sodom? Oh, said the prophet, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Did I mention it one night? D.L. Moody preached in Chicago, as only Moody could. And he preached on Gethsemane, that scene as the Son of God anticipated Calvary and what it meant to that Holy One to take away our sin. Prostrate upon the ground with strong crying and tears. A cry that arose to heaven, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. An impossibility. If salvation could come to sinners. And said Christ, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do we sing at times there was one who was willing to die in our stead? That souls so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread. All the sins of our life to forgive. And time ran out for Moody. And he said, friends, come back tomorrow night. and will get to the cross and I'll preach the way of salvation. The company dispersed, and that very night the famous fires of Chicago burned and swept hundreds into eternity that were waiting for another night. Said Moody with a breaking heart, "Never as long as I live," he said, "will I tell sinners to wait to another night. No, no, your Bible declares, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, a rich inheritance to enjoy. A great salvation that has been purchased at tremendous cost. Offered without any labor on the sinner's part. Offered without a merit to plead. Offered as a gift from the hand of Christ. Offered now. And it's choose ye this day whom you will serve." If I was speaking personally to each one in the meeting tonight, and I asked you, do you intend to be in heaven? Do you intend to be amongst those that will sing redemption song, likely without an exception? You would say, well, that's my only intention for eternity. But tell me, would you be prepared to settle the matter now? Would you be prepared to make Christ your choice this very night? For said Christ, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me in this generation, of him shall I be ashamed when I come in the glory of my Father's kingdom." And the man that's not prepared to walk the streets of Brisbane and declare that I belong to Christ and to acknowledge him in this life, Christ will never acknowledge him in scenes of glory. A master to choose. A time to respond. Oh, Moses, at the very crest of the wave, at the very peak of his life, choosing, rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Did you notice that Joshua would say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Would you face the challenge tonight? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, with a knowledge that the master that you serve in time is the master with whom you'll dwell eternally.